You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's new and it's free. It's Dog Pound Drive, the Cleveland Brown fans pregame. Don't miss live music, food trucks, a beer garden, and more. It's all happening next to First Energy Stadium, starting 3 hours before every home kickoff. Don't miss the next Dog Pound Drive pregame before the Browns and Steelers. Pregame starts at 10 a.m. on the south side of First Energy Stadium with music from live bands and EV. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelmin. Now it is time, as we do every Friday, to bring in the kid for a little Friday forecast. We'll also bring in our producer, Emmett Golden, to handle that. But before we get there, the kid, I want you to know that your appearances are starting to become anticipated on Twitter. And at West Park Dog said, ask the kid how Michigan is doing this year.
Well, I don't mind the little backhanded attention there, but obviously, as Wilhelm knows, it's not been the finest year for the Blue. We're looking for some changes, I'm not going to lie. And all I can say is if they get one of the two guys that I think they're going to get, then I think we'll have a return to a real rivalry.
I think it would be fun for everybody to get.
I agree. I think, and also, too, to kid, we'll talk about Michigan for about another 30 seconds, and I'll go throw up in a bag. I think it starts at the, top. You know, they're getting top five recruiting classes. It's the coaching that they're receiving that's putting them behind the eight ball. And like you said, if they get a couple of names, for me as a Buckeye fan, I might lose one wink of sleep.
I love it. All right, Emmett.
Did you start the book? I got you.
I did. Thank you very much. I expect my gift for this week in the mail.
I'll bring it next week when I see you in person.
There it is. The kid will be back. Buddy. Everybody will be back in studio. All right, Emmett, let's do a little Friday forecast.
All right, guys. First up on the Friday forecast, give me the Browns' record for the final 13 games.
I'm looking at 8-5. And if we can steal one from Cincinnati, I'm looking at 9-4. I believe 8-5 will get us in the playoffs. I went game by game, and the only thing that scares me a little bit is I have a 5-game winning streak coming out of the bye. I think for teams like the Browns, they'll probably give one of those away. But I really am looking for 8-5 finish to the season.
That would be great, Matt. What
I've
you got?
I've got them at 7-6. The last 13. I've got them. I looked at that next five coming out of the bye, and I too thought 5-0. But I said, hey, we're young. We're still figuring things out. We've got a rookie head coach, so I went with 4-1. But I do think, 7-6 would put us at an 8-8 finality from a schedule, probably with the competitive aspect of the AFC North. We're in the conversation.
Yeah, I think 7-6 is my number as well. I think there are six very, very winnable games. You want to see the team go 4-2 in those. And then the other seven games, a little bit tougher. There's some mid-range games there. But I think if they can go 2-4, in the other seven, then there you are. You're getting yourself to the record of 8-8 for the season. I guess they'd have to go 3-4 in the other seven. And I think the Browns can do that. I think this is a very competitive team. The key will be, and I think for all of our predictions to come true, I think out of this next five-game stretch, you got to be looking, 4-1, I think, is ideal. And I think that's, you got to be 3-2 at the worst, but probably 4-1 in these next five.
All right, guys, next up on the Friday forecast, who will be the Browns' leading rusher by the end of the season?
Well, I believe it'll be Ben Tate. If I was the offensive coordinator, it would be the Crow. But I believe it'll be Ben Tate. I think cooler heads will prevail. They'll go with the veteran, and he'll finish the season with somewhere between 700 and 1,000 yards.
I have the Crow with 800-plus yards as the leading rusher for the Cleveland Browns. I think the injury bug hits Ben Tate. And not able to come back to his full capacity, and Isaiah Crowell will get a significant amount of the workload.
I'm going to say Ben Tate as well, with Crow a very close second. And should Ben Tate miss really any more time, if he misses, let's say out of the final 13, if he misses 3 to 4 of those, it's going to be Crow, because I think if Crow gets in a position where they feed him the ball 20 times a game, he's going to be running for 100 yards every single game. I think it is the favorite is Tate, though, because I think the coaches know him. They trust him. They know what he can do as a pass blocker. They know what he can do in this scheme. But I think Crow is nipping at his heels, and And maybe in 2015, he's going to be a 1,000-yard back. He might get there this year, but I think those it's a two-horse race right now, even though Ben Tate's got the lead. I mean, Terrence West has the lead at over 200 yards. I think ultimately he will fade and finish third in that category.
Next up on the Friday forecast, who will win the AFC North?
I believe it'll be the Bengals. From my eye, they're the best regular season team in the AFC. Note, I do say regular season team, but I don't see them losing more than three or four games. So I believe they win the division going away.
I agree with the kid with Cincinnati. I think that, again, as I said, Nathan and I went through division by division across the NFL, and I believe that Cincinnati is the cream of the crop here in the AFC North. But we did also too say there will be another team out of the AFC North making an appearance in the playoffs. Who it will be is yet to be determined.
Yeah, that's right. I think the Bengals right now have to be considered the favorites for this division. They're 3-0. They've already defeated the Baltimore Ravens. Their differential, as I said, they've won their games 80-33. That's pretty ridiculous. Number one scoring defense in the NFL right now, plus 47 after three games. They have looked very, very strong, very, very stout, and I would expect the Bengals to take this division. It's amazing what a good job they've done considering they lost both their offensive and defensive coordinators from last year. They've done a very good job putting the pieces together. They have a bye right now, and we'll see how they come out of that. But I think they're going to win the division. But I think it is wide open, and I mean wide open, for the second place finish in the AFC North. The Browns very much in that conversation. But to get there, they are going to have to sweep Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh at home week 6, that's a must win as I see it. And then Baltimore at the end of the season at Baltimore will be another must win. And I think that could be a fun game. I think that could be a game that has playoff implications for this Browns team if they handle their business the way that we all think they will coming out of this bye week.
And the last question on the Friday forecast, who is your pick for the Super Bowl after three games?
Well, I think it's a little too early to start changing. I still like Philadelphia out of the NFC, and I'm a bit of a Tom Brady homer, so I'm still going to stick with New England.
I wonder why that is, the kid.
But my sleeper pick out of the AFC is the San Diego Chargers. People are sleeping on how good the defense is, and Phil Rivers, for my money, is the best quarterback that was drafted in his class, including Ben Roethlisberger, including Elijah Manning. I really believe he's the best. He's just never had the talent around him that those guys have had, and I think he's going to start showing it the last part of his career.
All right, I'm going to go
Elijah
with...
Elijah looked good last
go
night, though. We got to be honest about it.
He did look good. He looked great. He looked like old Eli.
He did.
I'm going to go with a repeat performance by the Seattle Seahawks getting back to the Super Bowl. And then I agree 100% with the kid. I've got New England as a given with Tom Brady and that offense getting back on track and winning a very up-in-the-air AFC opportunity. And my sleeper, and I have it written down here as well, is my boys, the San Diego Chargers, getting to the Super Bowl again.
The New England Patriots offensive line needs to get its beep together if that team wants to go to the Super Bowl. That's the only thing that scares me, and it makes you wonder, like, okay, but maybe were you guys too smart for your own good trading Logan Mankins for a fourth rounder and Tim Wright, who's made zero impact thus far? You know, was that maybe a little too cute for your own good there? You maybe should have kept Logan Mankins and shored up that line, because right now Brady's under pressure. It seems like every drop back, they can't create room in the running game. Now, if they get that figured out, though, I think that New England has a great chance to come out of the AFC. They get Brandon Browner back next week, which is good. We'll see what happens, but I think they're in the conversation. I think whoever wins the AFC West is gonna go to the Super Bowl, though, from the AFC. I think Denver or San Diego, whichever team ultimately ends up winning the AFC West, is going to come out of that conference. I think they are complete football teams. I think the Chargers' defense has been fantastic over the first 3 weeks of the season. I think a lot of people have been sleeping on just how good that defense has been. Phil Rivers is great. Gates looks rejuvenated. They really haven't even gotten much out of Keenan Allen yet. You got Ladarius Green as a secondary tight end. They've got Eddie Royal in the slot, Malcolm Floyd. They've got some weapons there. They're going to get Ryan Matthews back. Donald Brown's been running well. Their lines are good. But that defense is better than people realize down there in San Diego, and I think that defense is what could propel them out of the AFC. The NFC, to me, is fairly wide open. I don't know if I believe that Philly is tough enough if they have to go on the road and go through a Seattle or a San Francisco. We'll find that out certainly this week when they take on the 49ers in San Francisco. I'm going to stick with Seattle for now, even though they don't blow me away. I think that the NFC is a little bit down this year. I think you have a lot of parity in the NFC. The NFC North, I think every team in that division has some issues. If Detroit can stop turning the ball over, their D has been fantastic, and they'd be somebody to look at, but it's just hard to trust that team at this time. So I'll go right now Seattle and the winner of the AFC West, which I believe will be Denver. It could be a rematch, folks. Could be a rematch. All right, that's our Friday forecast. The kid, let me ask you this, since we got you here as we're wrapping up our show, and folks, you still can go out there to the Browns tailgate at the PNC Bank in Fairlawn on West Market Street, see Mr. Wilhelm. Frank Stams is out there, chomps, food, drinks, fun, games, money advice, all good things out there at PNC. But we were talking earlier, we had two big questions for today's show. The first was, which Browns player needs to step up the most coming out of the bye week?
Well, I would say Jordan Cameron offensively, but I'm not so sure that it's Jordan Cameron's fault. I think that Hoyer's got to not be afraid of getting picked off, and he's really got to stick it in there. And if a couple get picked off, so be it. You really got to force the ball to him. He's our best weapon until Flash gets back, and they really need to combine, work together to really get him back involved in the offense. On the defense side of the ball, boy, it's been a sieve so far, so I would probably say the interior defensive line, but I'd also have to point out that Joe Hayden is the quarterback rating on passes at Joe Hayden, I read, is 155. So he's our star. He's our Michael Jordan on defense. I'd probably put it on Joe Hayden and Jordan Cameron.
I like those calls. I think Jordan Cameron has got to be a bigger part of this offense going forward. I don't think there's any question about that. I think when you look at this team, he's got to be a bigger part of this offense. And you talked about, you hit the nail on the head earlier on the show. Matt said Ataba Rubin for the reasons you mentioned. I said Joe Hayden for the reasons you mentioned. I think that defensively, I think this team is going to come out of this bye with a lot of fire in their belly, and they're going to be looking pretty, pretty good. The other one that Matt and I were discussing, the running back situation, how would you, and Matt came up with a good number, 32 carries a game, let's call it. How would you divvy up those 32 carries going forward?
If I was the OC?
You were the OC.
31 for Crow and one for somebody else. But more realistically, probably Ben Tate is going to see about 13. Crow will see about 13. And Terrence West will see 5 or 6. You know, that would be my guess.
Okay.
But I really think, especially since we're still a developmental team, why not see if Crow is going to be the bell cow and just go with him?
It's an interesting thought. It's an interesting thought. Matt, at this point in a locker room, what do you think the players are thinking about this running back situation?
As I've said, as a defender in that locker room, all you want is whoever's going to sustain first downs and sustain drives. That's first and foremost. I think if you're the offensive line, you want the guy that has thus far best read their blocks, meaning that way they truly feel like their hard effort to really, to stretch and to really, develop that zone run scheme. You want to go with the guy that is seeing those holes that they're opening the best and is the most explosive. Who that is, I don't know. But to be very honest with you, is you want the guys that hold on to the football and sustain drives best, which all three have done thus far.
And they play the Tennessee Titans this week. Last year, the defensive coordinator of the Browns, Ray Horton, is now in Tennessee. So you'd like to think they know how to attack that defense. Dow Loggins was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee last year. He should know that offensive personnel pretty well. Does that give a team a nice advantage headed into a game?
Most definitely, Nathan. I think that their level of comfort with Ray Horton, and more so than anything, this week in the bye, they don't have to study the scheme because they've got an awesome grasp on the scheme. What they'll now have to do is just dig into the personnel. They're going to have to see what tendencies do these guys have as opposed to the scheme has. So that means, what does a corner do? Who do they like to blitz off the edge? Who do they bring, on their inside blitzes? Things of that sort, Nathan. So it bodes extremely well for the Cleveland Browns.
Final question here on the forecast. Who wins the Ryder Cup, the U.S. or Europe?
Well, the
USA!
The United States blew it this morning. I mean, Tom Watson really needs to be slapped around for his performance this morning. Jordan Spieth, who's one of my personal favorites, was dominant this morning with Reed, and they sat him out in the afternoon to go with Phil Mickelson, who cannot play 36 holes anymore. And they blew a great first session in our trailing. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, I don't see the USA pulling it out. I hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong, too. USA all the way. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. Thanks to PNC Bank and Fairlawn. Thank you to Mary Kay Cabot, Frank Stanford for joining us, and, of course, the kid. And we will be back on Monday as the Browns return to action and get ready to take on the Tennessee Titans in week number 5. Enjoy your weekends, everybody. Enjoy the bye week. For Matt Wilhelm and the kid, I'm Nathan Segura saying you've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.